Hi, everybody. Welcome to the work session for the Capital Improvement Plan. And I'm here. This is Shelley Mayer. I'm seated with Mike Taylor, and looks like Janine Driscoll and Brian Taylor, council members, are also online. And we're ready to go. And Ben Sadler, our treasurer, is going to lead us tonight.
Thank you, Shelley. Yeah, so anyways, this is just an opportunity for the council to go over the capital improvement plan, make any changes from last year's plan to this year. What I'm going to do is basically just go through what I updated, and then once we've gotten through that portion, then we can talk about what's in the plan and what we'd like to add to the plan, and if the council would like to remove anything, or if the council would like to move some things from mid-range or long range into funding for FY25. So just start out with the changes I made. On the first page, pretty simple. I just changed the dates, the date that we approved it, the version of the plan. This is our seventh installment of this plan, and so on the introduction part, that's the main change. There was just that I changed it from the 6th to the 7th. On the second paragraph on the second page, I that previously said the state of Alaska budget outlook remains grim. I got on the website or on the internet today and tried to find out exactly what last year's state of Alaska budget amount was and what this year's state of Alaska budget is. And unfortunately, the information isn't as easy as the city of Gustavus's budget information, which you can find on our website anytime you want. But what I was able to find out was that our budget is 1% less this year than it was last year. And so I added that in. I took out the remains grim and added in the 1% less. I corrected a word error and changed the footer. Nothing on page 3, and then on page 4 is where we actually get to see what we did and where we're going. And so from ongoing projects funded in previous years, I removed septic storage facility, Gustavus Fish Waste Disposal System, the Gustavus Public Library Bike Shelter. I corrected the Salmon River Harbor cleanup to have the boat hulls removed in CY24 instead of CY23 because we were unable to get them done. Remove the hardened beach trail. And I added on to Good River Bridge repairs. It had that the project was ongoing. It was waiting on some engineering work. There was $15,000 that was allocated to the project. All that money was spent on engineering and a little bit, except for a little bit, which was spent on a grant writer. So I wasn't sure if that meant we were at phase 2 of the construction phase, which is what it says later in the plan. So I took out the construction estimates will be determined based on the results of engineering work. Put that I thought we were at the construction phase, and that the project was not currently funded. So maybe when we get to where we're actually talking about the items in the plan, we can go into that a little bit. Remove the completed projects in FY22. Go ahead.
So the document that's in the packet is the original one, and you're just discussing where your changes are? There's no marked up document in the packet?
The one in back of you is the one that I did today. Is that correct? Or is this the old one?
You're asking, is there one that shows the edits, the red lines?
I did not do that. No.
But you sent out a version of it that you're working
on. Yes. Yeah. The updated version was sent out today.
Oh.
So, yeah. Right. Yeah. I didn't do track so changes.
That's an email then?
Yes. That's to City Council around 4:00.
Okay.
Okay. And so what is on the screen? Is that correct? Is the new one? Is what you got up there? Okay. Yeah. So the completed projects, I took, you know, obviously I took out last year's completed projects and added in this year's. We had the septic storage facility was done. The fish waste disposal, the hardened beach trail, the library bike shelter, the radio tower, the cul-de-sac improvements, and the marine facilities building. So quite a bit done, I thought. I was pretty excited when I saw the things that we had done. And then that was it. I'm sorry. That's it until we get to page 6. Page 6 is just the legislative requests. They're exactly the same as last year's, except for we added the Glenn's Ditch. So I added that in there. Just as a, you know, all I did was add that that was a project that we had done. We had asked for legislative. We had requested the legislator to fund. Went to page 7. Basically just updated these. I took out the refurbish, the old preschool. The one thing I did want to mention just while we're here at this part was the disposal and recycling center groundwater monitoring well replacements. Paul was very adamant that this needed to be funded last fiscal year and that we needed to get this done, that two of the wells were critical and that all four needed to be done. I don't think that I ever heard anybody talk about it after we had the CIP meeting last year. Last year it was something that was talked about at the meeting, and then, you know, as a treasurer, I never heard it get brought up again. So maybe Ian will talk about that when we.
So we have it funded already.
No, we don't have it. We don't have it funded. We had it in the fund. Yep. Yep.
And then we just need to get it done.
Yep. And it's just a matter of the council saying they want to do it, and I'll create the NCO, and we can get that done. So.
Can we wait till we get to the to Ian's?
Yes.
Thing to talk about the wells.
Sure.
You know, okay.
Yeah, I just wanted to bring it up because it's not going to come up again unless we go through each individual project. So the SEEK funding in FY24, we did not get funding for any of those things in FY24. So I just changed it to FY25. Same thing, additional priority. We did not move forward on the gravel extraction improvement project. So I just changed that to FY25. And then those are all the changes that I made. So that was kind of my part of it. This is where last year we went over the mid-range projects first, the long-range projects next. The council that was here, we had more participating then, decided which of these things they thought should remain as mid-range or long-range, which should be moved forward, and a few things were removed from the list completely. And then after that was where we talked to the individual departments about the new items that they wanted to add to the plan. So I don't know if you guys want me to go through the mid-range projects or if we want to have, it was an open discussion last year. That was the other thing. It wasn't very formal. It was an open discussion about what was here. So I will ask you, Madam Mayor, what you think about that?
I'm sorry, my mind drifted.
We're kind of at a place where we need to have a open discussion with all the council members about what we want to keep in the mid-range projects.
Okay, we're on, is it page 8?
Yep.
And looks like there are 8 different items. Do any council members want to address any of these items?
No, it's page 8. Is it? Oh, and the new one, it's page 7. Okay.
We have Glenn's, I guess that's still mid-range, even though
that's added. I added that to the mid-range projects, if that's in there. That wasn't on the previous. So,
yeah, I guess we're probably not going to get that funded this year in time to do it. So mid-range is FY 25 or 26?
Well, it could, you know, there's not a definition in the thing to say what is mid or what is long. Yeah. The way we did it last year, there were council members who questioned what was the long range project. And I said, to me, a long range project is one that we might want to do someday, but aren't necessarily going to do this year. Mid range is stuff that maybe we need to start thinking about, or maybe we could put it off for a year, you know, seek funding elsewhere. Mm-hmm. It was kind of how we discussed it last year.
Sure. Sometimes some of these things we've got in mid-range or in, you know, a different section, and then we learn about funds that are available all of a sudden. So even though we're planning for them and we've got them perhaps in CAPSIS or wherever, that doesn't mean that that we might not be able to all of a sudden have a funding opportunity for them. So whether or not when they become critical and you want to, and we can afford to fund them, then that's one thing, but we keep an eye on these and continually try to get funds for them. So
we could change the category if funding source or if an urgency, if they became more urgent, we can change the category.
Yeah. It's not if it's in mid-range, we can't do it this year. If it's in mid-range and we come up with the funding, then absolutely we should do it this year. And it's one of the things, and maybe Ian would like to speak about this now that he's the operator out at the landfill, but Paul told me that things like the new baler, the new glass pulverizer, and all the things in the long-range projects were wish list items. They were things he wanted that were going to improve the ability of the landfill to deal with our waste, but they weren't things that the landfill could not do without. And so that, you know, that's the mid-range stuff. There is stuff that we're going to need a baler before we need a drive-on vehicle scale. Right. So that's the difference in the ranges.
A lot of these are pretty good sized projects. So even if we got funding this spring, we're probably not going to build them for another year or more because it just takes a while to get them designed and bid and all that.
Well, and you can see the first four are actually the things that we put in for legislative right. requests. So, right. You know, if they don't fund them, they might be mid-range next year too. Right. So, but the disposal and recycling center landfill mound was last year in the mid-range projects. I left it there because I thought, well, after Ian talked about it tonight, maybe the council would choose to put it in, seek funding for FY25, or move it forward in some manner. Because that is one of the projects that we're going to talk about tonight. And now, if anyone doesn't mind, I would like to hear what Ian has to say about it.
Do you want to address whether
So basically, our existing landfill mound is pretty much full. I mean, there's a couple years of capacity left there, but before we know it, we're going to need to expand the landfill. So essentially what I did is just looked at a previous document that was created in 2017. I used it as a guide to essentially develop a plan that I thought would best fit our community. And that's what I did. And of course it would involve rerouting a drainage ditch. That's probably one of the biggest things. It would require some purchase of some fencing and of course the labor to install it. It would also be something that could potentially be seen from the road, which being in our community is kind of a big deal. So another thing would be camouflaging that with planting some trees, which is what Paul did back in the day. And that's essentially the project and all the reasoning behind it, because we're going to need it.
This is the CIP project nomination. Someone has one question.
I don't know if anyone has any specific questions about it that they would like me to address. Other than that, I could essentially summarize my improvement plan that I turned in.
I have a question. So last year when I talked to Paul about this, he asked me, then it was in long range. We moved it to mid range. And he said at that time that he had no idea what the costs would be. Were you able to get any idea of what the cost might be for this?
Yes. I did the best research I could to essentially get an idea what it would cost. First of all, I started with figuring out what the fence would cost. And in my document, I don't know if everyone has it, but essentially through Acme Fencing, a company in Anchorage, which is where Paul purchased fencing before for a different project. You know, they quoted that at a little bit over $34,000 with, of course, an additional $4,000 for shipping through Frontier Freight. There would be things like heavy equipment use through contractors. I made an estimate that was $15,800 for that. Some labor through the DRC staff, which I put at $25,000. It would require some concrete that I estimated at $2,500, which is fairly defensive. And of course, some consulting with John Barry, Neville Engineering, I believe is what his business is called. So we put in a little bit of time for that. And also it would require some revegetation because to reroute the stream that's potentially in the way, with Alaska Department of Environmental Control, it's considered waters of the United States, which requires getting permits, and they want revegetation plans and all that sort of stuff. So I guess the total cost estimate that I came up with was $109,098.07.
Okay.
And
and we have a scoping document on that. I don't think I've got it in this package I'm looking at.
You should have it in an email.
So it's a different one than the one you sent out at 3:50 p.m.
It's in there.
Okay.
It's also on.
Oh, sure. The one said, oh, I see it. I didn't read the full thing. Okay, great.
And I do want to note that something that I did add into this was the monitoring wells, because I figured while there was equipment and work going on at the DRC, we might as well get the wells in. And I put that number at 12,000 because in the document that was prepared in 2017 by Vista Geo Environmental, they estimated it would be $3,000 per well. So I figured four wells for 12,000, which is a little different from the 20,000 in the.
So the area is the red outlined.
Yes. I originally did have a key explaining all that stuff. So yes, the red outline is the fence. The dark blue is the rerouting of the stream. Yeah. And the light blue would actually be pass into the new area. And that image is just conceptual. It's not necessarily exactly what it would look like, but it's not far from what it would look like.
And we don't have any interference with our new septic storage facility?
No, it's out of the way of
that.
And there's plenty of room for other city activities.
And how do you access this area?
If you can see the light blue in that drawing.
Oh, yeah, I see that.
Yeah, so essentially.
like that? Yeah, so that's your access route.
Yes.
Okay.
So this is why I brought up what. We would want to try to bundle this project and not do it in two separate ones, just because of the cost of mobilizing equipment. I'm not saying it couldn't be done separately for the well monitoring. It certainly could. And we might have to do it that way. But there's any way we could fund the entire project collectively to be completed all at one time, it would probably help keep costs down overall. So I just wanted to put that out there. We're going to look at what other funds might be available. But and if that's not forthcoming, then we might just have to bite the bullet and do the wells. But in the meantime, I wanted him to put this in the whole package so we could, if hopefully it's approved and we can go after funding for it once it's approved as a priority.
Now, on the wells, are they at the same locations as the old wells but deeper? Or are they new locations likely?
I'm not 100% sure. They would very likely be in very similar locations, but I was planning on taking John's advice on where to place them.
I would think it would be based on the new configuration too. If the landfill is expanding its size, the wells might need to be set further out, I would think.
That is a very good point, and yes, I could definitely see some of them being moved, but in this drawing, monitor well 4, for example, is probably in a good spot, where monitor well 5 would definitely need to be moved.
Right.
Outside of that area, and preferably quite a ways away, because you're not necessarily just wanting to check the water that's coming right out of the landfill. You want to see what's happening downstream from it.
Probably DEC will have some recommendations on that, and whatever consultant we're using for the well design would work with them, or I guess to
yes,
make sure that we're putting them where DEC is happy with them.
We have John engaged with Ian to be looking at this.
That's
so
perfect.
Okay.
Can I just ask two things? One is that 109,000, does that include the 12,000? I'm just so that I can accurately report it in the document.
Yes, it includes everything I listed, and
including the wells.
Yes, and I can just read off the list that I have here of all the items. So
are we combining those two in this document into one project?
I think that would be a good idea.
Okay.
But we don't necessarily have to.
Well, I'm going to have to do something before I present it to the council. So I guess we just need to decide how you guys would like to see it.
You can sure put them in the same project. They don't have to be done, but I mean, they're probably going to be done by different contractors. And they may or may not be done at the same time. But if you put them in the same project, you can schedule it as works out for the contractors involved.
Okay.
So I'd say put them in the same thing.
Okay.
I agree.
Yeah, my only concern on that would be if for any reason having them together somehow precludes us from only doing the monitoring wells. If it winds up there's not funding available to do the landfill expansion this year, but I don't see that being an insurmountable issue. So yeah, I'm happy with them together.
So I thought that too, Brian, but what I thought is it's like the library bike shed roof, whatever project. There was multiple items under one heading in this document, and then they were done first the roof, first whatever, then the roof, then the bike shed. So as far as the document goes, I think it'd be okay to have them as one project.
Perfect.
We could monitoring wells directly, you know, as a city, and do, you know, even if we couldn't fund the rest of it for some reason, we could at least provide enough funding for the monitoring wells and do that part of it.
And it could actually look good too, that we had put in 20,000 of our own dollars while we're searching out more money for the rest of the project.
Yeah.
Would these be then considered sort of phase one, phase two of the same project?
You know, I don't know if it has to be that way, but I guess if we were going to fund one part of it and not the other, then that would be how I would put it into my software.
Mm-hmm. You know, John's listening in. I don't know if we want to ask him if he has any input that he wants to give us right now, if we need to get into that level of detail.
Yeah, but he might very well have some comments for us. John?
He was on.
Maybe okay, I'm unmuted. Can you hear me okay?
Yes,
we can now.
Well, I'd like to proceed with working with the Department of Fish and Game on that possible permit we might need for the fish habitat. I spoke with one of the biologists this morning, and we may be able to present enough documentation on the project that we might be able to get a letter saying that we don't need a permit, which is something that would be pretty worthwhile to go ahead and get done now. So there was a survey done in that drainage ditch back in 2019. The biologist is going to go have a look at that. In the meantime, I need to present something to him showing him the scope of the project. And if I could have the scoping document and send that to the biologist, I think that would be adequate.
Okay.
And we'll need a core permit too, presumably, since we're going to fill that existing ditch.
Right. I spoke with someone at the core late last week. And we're going to have to go ahead and put in an application for a permit, and the Corps is going to decide whether we need one or not, and if we do need one, what type of permit. Now, there's no cost for submitting a permit application to the Corps unless it goes on further and we need a full-scale permit, but that we'll have to go ahead and do. That'll require some drawings and an application package. But what we want to do is have everything determined by the Alaska Department of Fish and Game first before we apply for the Corps permit. So that'll have a lot of influence on what the Corps is going to do.
And we have some money in our operating budget for contractual that if we got this funded, we could later put the cost for the permitting towards the project. But in the meantime, for the consulting piece of it, just to apply for the permits, we still have hours left in our operating budget. So we could actually move forward with that.
Quick follow-up question, if I can, for you, John. This is more a curiosity than anything, but if we submit these scoping documents and plans and get some permits underway, do we end up in any sort of time constraint for when we're looking at needing to have this work completed? I'm just thinking about the availability of funding and what that might look like.
Well, let's start with Fish and Game because that's a freebie. And then we should hold off until we're ready to advance with the project and then go for the core permit. It probably won't take too long to get the core permit. They gave me some possible timelines, but that all depends on what type of permit the core decides that we need. But if we were, say, 1 year in advance, we'd certainly be ready to go and we wanted to start construction.
Okay, do we want to move on from this? Okay. So then I would just ask the same question that I asked before. Is everyone happy with the mid-range projects, or would we like to move any other than the landfill expansion project, which it looks like should be moved to seek funding for FY25 based on the conversation we're having? Does everyone agree with that? That is what we're doing?
I had a couple of possible additions to the projects we've talked about before, and we don't have scoping yet. One is heat pumps for city buildings. Now, I know we've got fire hall system already, which may involve a heat pump, but do we want to continue to work towards providing electric heat in all of our buildings? We proposed doing 6 buildings, well, 2 or 3 years ago, something like that. And the council, we had a grant opportunity then that was going to pay for most of it. But the council at the time was reticent about giving the go ahead for all of them and said, do City Hall first and see how that works, and then consider some of the others. So I think that's one that might be a mid-range thing for us to continue to develop. Then the other was purchasing the Boat Harbor tract, which I don't know if that would cost either, but it's, we need to do something about our management authority down there. Right now, we're working on a very outdated cooperative management agreement with DNR for the central part of our Boat Harbor that was written before we renovated it. And it was written there initially to allow us to do all the construction work that we did in about 2005. So the current harbor, you know, our authority to do things down there is based on that CRMA, which describes the harbor as it was before we were a city. And so we probably should, that CRMA is going to expire in about 25, I think, somewhere in there. And we need to decide whether to renew that, you know, develop a new one with DNR that describes it the way it is now and is an operating, gives us operating authority for it, or we buy the tract, which would be the most straightforward thing for us to do, to just own it. We own the two tracts on either side, but the central one where the boat ramp is and most of our activities and the floats is all not ours. So if you think it's worthwhile, I think you could at least list that on them. We don't know yet what it's going to cost, but, and they couldn't even give us a price per acre. We know it's 10 acres or 9.6 or something like that. But he, when I asked John King at DNR about that a year and a half ago or so, and talked to him when they were here, he was unable to say what the price per acre would be. Said you have to file an application. I started doing an application, but unfortunately I didn't get it done. So
is that something we could proceed with?
We could. In order to put it into the plan, we'd have to come up with a scoping document, but mm-hmm. we could create a scoping document without knowing how much the land was going to cost. Mm-hmm. You know, it'd be pretty basic. Okay. And I would think, you know, as the treasurer, I don't get to make decisions on what goes in the plan or what doesn't, but I think the city is financially stable enough that we could afford to buy the rest of our Boat Harbor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, probably.
Yeah. I mean, unless the state really wanted to, get it out of us. But I would think that, mm-hmm. You know, that would be worthwhile for us. We maintain it, you know, why not? Mm-hmm. Why not own
it? It's our responsibility, really.
Right. And it might even offer us opportunities to do things down there that we can't do at the moment. I don't know what exactly the CRMA limits us to, but
actually, we would have proprietary jurisdiction and we could do any of a lot of things. Right now, for example, you can't have a commercial operation down there, like boat repair.
Right.
If we owned it, we could. You know, if we wanted to.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
And one was proposed once.
Okay.
And we had to turn it down because it was not authorized under the CRMA. So that's an example.
Okay.
So, I mean, I could work on a scoping document for that.
Okay.
And because you said two things, so the heat pumps.
The other one was the heat pumps. And that's another one that I can do a scoping document for, since I'm fairly familiar with them. And then we just have to decide for sure what buildings we want to put them in and all of that. But we learned enough on putting this one in to have a good idea what the costs are and what it takes to do it.
I think we don't have the summary of our comparison of our electrical use for the period of time that we've had the heat pump. What month did it go in?
Went in October or so.
Okay.
And unfortunately, you know, I've asked the electrician to provide us with a submeter for the power line, which would really tell us what we're spending on it.
Mm-hmm.
And despite several requests, it just hasn't happened yet.
Yeah, he told me he's had difficulty getting things, and I think he thinks that we may be able to, there may be an easier way for us to get the same information without a submeter.
There isn't, unfortunately, because we share the electricity with the fire hall. And so although we can see that we're using about 300 kilowatts per hour more per month than we were previously, maybe Sol's over there, you know, juicing or something. Who knows what he's over there doing? So
a sub meter costs a few hundred bucks.
Okay.
And it would tell us. And it would tell us what's going on in this building.
We would put it on the actual line.
Right.
The power line just for that circuit.
Okay.
So it would tell us exactly what we're spending.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's something else we just need to follow up on.
Okay.
So, and I would think that would be another thing for council members that are online. Do any council members online have any thoughts about heat pumps or the Boat Harbor Tract?
Both of those sound like good ideas to me. It sounds like we just need to get a scoping document put together for it. I actually wasn't aware that we didn't own that section of the Boat Harbor and that I was under a CRMA. So that's my faux pas. But yeah, it seems like the price isn't crazy. We probably are in a good position to make a move on that. Who knows, maybe we have a boat repair facility down in the harbor someday soon.
My guess is it might be something like 4,000 an acre, or so. I'm trying to remember what we spent for the extra acreage here around City Hall that was beyond our municipal entitlement, but I think it was around that.
Well, if that price holds, gosh, just get that into the local retail market and I'd be a happy landowner here in town.
And by the way, the subtitle part, which is below the existing track, they will transfer to us at no charge. But the title portion where the floats are, because the property line of the existing track goes down to the mean high tide line, but our floats go out beyond that. So and our agreement gives us authority to the center line of the river. So we can actually get ownership all the way out to the center line of the river with no extra charge below the high tide line. For some reason, they don't charge for that.
And can I ask about the public drinking water point source project development? Is that a project that the city is interested in? I think there's some local people who are trying to do something like that. Is that something the city is trying to have done in as a mid-range project, Madam Mayor? Do you have any ideas?
I don't think we've had any discussion about this in years. Maybe you...
I know there is a group of folks who would probably like to see something like that, but with all of the permitting and staffing and questions about who's going to run it and who would operate it and do we want an operator treatment? I mean, does the city want to hire an operator for water facilities and all of that? I wouldn't say to disappear it entirely, but I would say we could move it into a longer range project.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it seems like to me is, you know, okay. So unless anybody has an objection online, we'll move that to the long range project.
One of the reasons it was on there where it is that came out as one of the top areas of concern in the survey that was done in 2018 or 19 years ago.
It was number two.
Number two. And, you know, well, it was about providing a public drinking water source, I think it was. And so there was public concern about that because of the PFAS contamination of groundwater in some portions of the community. I frankly have never thought it was something we ought to get into. It's just too expensive and complicated.
Well, I know years ago the school had, when they redid the water project down at the compound, we had to investigate several things because they were providing the water to the school. We had a memorandum of agreement for the park to provide water to the school. I don't know if that's still happening or not, but you know, it's something that, you know, maybe is a much bigger project, but could be worked on, you know, as a sharing type of thing. I don't know that it could ever happen. I'm just saying it's not likely to happen in the near future for us. It's a really huge undertaking, and I think that it would be better off in a longer range
project. Yeah, I would leave it in the long range as a possibility, especially as we, as the state or the feds take some action here, whatever they do that mitigates PFAS, that may inform what we, what the, what our public needs going forward and whether we still need that. So I would leave it in there.
Is the village safe water source of funding available to, or possibly just do an analysis of our needs?
Well, that would be a separate, we have a wastewater study application right now that actually the RFP is going to go out for that pretty soon. But we don't have one for water.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be a whole separate study and, you know, procedure. Not mm-hmm. saying we couldn't get one. They've also got the their long-term, you know, revolving loan fund funds for big, huge infrastructure projects like that.
Mm-hmm.
Some of which gets forgiven, some of which, you know, you can find other funding to supplement it with, but it's a big, huge undertaking as well. But having a local point, a local source for it, I agree that we should wait to see what the, how the feds roll out their, their
PFAS.
I mean, because there might be more funding sources available once that comes out. Mm-hmm. So.
Mm-hmm.
And again, we're not taking it out of the document. We're just moving it back. And long-range projects, if we find funding for those, they can be funded now as well.
Okay.
One thing I noticed that I guess maybe I'm the only one that would know, but it looks like last year I forgot to change fire hall architectural and engineering plans for expansion to GVFD truck and skid unit on this page. So my apologies for last year, and I will get that fixed for this year.
So that goes on the mid-range, is that what you're
saying? It's in the long-range projects. It's not a legislative request, and it wasn't last year either. I forgot to change that, I guess. But that's why we're here, to find these kinds of things.
And what is the bank stabilization consultation? Was that the bench issue?
I believe that's this right out here, Mike. Is that
Salmon River?
That's what it was. It wasn't one that I promoted.
Let's see.
So I guess the idea was to get some geotechnical assessment of it.
So City Hall driveway relocation and riverbank stabilization. The Salmon River is eroding the driveway that leads to City Hall, the slow rate of erosion, but it appears inevitable that the driveway will eventually become unsafe and too narrow to provide access to City Hall. Options that have been considered informally include riverbank stabilization and driveway relocation.
Yeah, I think we were thinking that we would just relocate the driveway and let the river do its thing.
That is what was discussed last year, was relocating the driveway.
So that is one that we need to keep on the, you know, on a burner, if not for front one.
And much as we don't like to deal with them, this is one that, you know, FEMA may have some funding sources for a standalone project. So possible to get some planning stuff there. So
good point.
Okay. Do we want to move to the long-range projects? Well, before we do that, because Sol's being so patient, do we want to talk about Sol's? He has a scoping document put together to talk about the heat at the fire hall. For anyone who's unaware, the boiler at the fire hall is ancient, and apparently parts are becoming harder and harder to find to work on it. Mark Berry has made some suggestions to Sol, I believe, on how we can heat the fire hall adequately. And so go have at it, Sol.
So, yeah, like I said, the current boiler is essentially eating itself away. And talking to Mark, he recommended a Toyo stove, at least one, down in the garage area, with a Daikin heat pump upstairs, with potentially another one downstairs. Not in a whole new unit, like a new output I'm not sure what the technical term for it would be.
This is a discharge unit.
Discharge unit, yeah. So yeah, that's essentially it. To hopefully expand the life and the efficiency of the building itself. I know you guys use the heat pumps here just from the visual. With this particular brand, I'm not sure if the brand itself or if it's just the type. I don't see that this would work. Same system here would work for the fire hall, just because of the fact that the toilet stove's on now. So if this system won't heat the small building, it's not going to heat up the large fire hall. So I do see that a heat pump is a use, but I think not as a sole heating system. So maybe just a heat pump upstairs with an additional heat source of a toilet stove downstairs. This was ranging around like $21,000, kind of a total, $18,000 and change, $19,000 round up a little bit would be the price coming from Mark Berry's. With a couple $1,000 to for electricity and maybe another $1,002 for like a buffer hopefully we don't need, but we might need later on if something else comes up.
Can I ask real quick, is this something that needs to be done this year, or is this a mid-range project, or
I would like to have it done this year. Mainly because last year when Mark Berry fixed it, he mentioned that it may not last this winter. And if certain parts in it breaks, like Ben said, he's not sure how he's going to fix it. So I would like to get it fixed this year if at all possible, rather than risk it breaking and then being out in an inopportune moment. Before people say like, yeah, no, there's, cause there's at least, there's a couple, quick pieces of equipment in there that just cannot freeze ambulance and fire truck itself. The tanker might be all right. That's a lot of water to freeze, but the fire engine has, water gauges that water, if those little things, break, we have to replace the gauges. And just looking at the prices or the, trying to get fixed the smaller, somewhat unimportant gauges on there to fix, it's like $300 just for a small 4 or 5 inch one. I can't imagine the big one that we're, if that breaks, that would be a lot, and that's something we would have to place on the fire engine. So, and the ambulance, well, there's a lot of medical supplies that just can't freeze, so it's best to get things fixed and changed before it breaks than be in a panic and waiting for parts to come in.
So this is another one that we could potentially phase in. I think it would be a good idea. Before the furnace breaks down, getting a Toyo would be something we could put in right away. And then if we're going to do heat pumps for all the buildings, then we could look at that. Mark did tell me that these ones are more like Kirkland brand versus top of the line brand. He doesn't install these and said he wouldn't, but that the Daikin pump is, he said it's higher end, it's been used with success, and they do pressure tests, they conduct pressure tests with the installation, and they're equipped a little bit differently. I'm not attached to either one, but if we're going to do, and there are grants for heat pumps, if we're going to outfit other city buildings, then we could do the Toyo first, continue to have the boiler, hopefully without it going out, and use it minimally, and then go with the heat pumps, one downstairs to use when we don't have to have a Toyo going, and one for upstairs to heat your upstairs.
And something worth mentioning, the Toyo stoves, the boiler, current boiler right now in the summertime essentially goes unused because at least when I was there, because I keep the building in 60-65, and I'm sure everybody has experience in their homes that outside temperature doesn't get cold enough in the summertime for other things to get warmer. The boiler isn't like being left off for a certain amount of time. And that's essentially what caused it to break last year, unfortunately, because it wouldn't, I'm trying to remember what this paperwork and what he did, but it wouldn't kick on, and he had to fix it. The Toyo stoves, however, are a little bit more forgiving. So it would essentially be a little bit easier for little breaks here and there. So
is there a possibility of having two Toyos? One upstairs.
So something
upstairs?
Worth mentioning, the two soil stoves has came up. As far as you talk about just one up downstairs and upstairs.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see why that wouldn't be the case. However, even for the Toyo stove downstairs, we're gonna have to get a pump. A pump. I wasn't sure. Did he mention? Because I for some reason remember he had to get an additional pump to pump the fuel to the stove. Because a lot of the reason why all the fuel tanks a lot of people's houses are above ground on stills is because they can use gravity feed. Unfortunately, our tank is not, so it has to take a lift pump to take it to the Toyo stove.
Mm-hmm.
There is already a lift pump to the water heater, and I think he might have mentioned that he might be able to tag off to that one, to the one Toyo stove. But I'm not 100% sure if I heard that right, because apparently there's some confusion on that one.
And I did not send Liesl the Mark's estimate, which was also available. I'm sorry, but the totals are there I believe it's one heat pump and one Toyo. I don't think it's two heat pumps. Am I correct?
Yeah, I think what I thought it was
all right.
Essentially I think it's what it is. I think there was two discharges at least, but I'm not 100% sure if that was
probably one heat pump with two discharges like we use here.
Yeah.
And that should take care of, that should heat the fire. I mean, if you size the unit big enough,
yeah,
it should heat the fire hall most of the time, but it's a good idea to have an oil backup. And this unit here doesn't need to be on at this temperature. The heat pump will handle it fine in here at the outdoor temperature now.
Well, except for that this has been turning on to defrost quite often.
Right now,
it's not right now, 65. But it has been.
They do defrost. They do that automatically. But at any rate, Daikin, of course, is a good brand. So is Mitsubishi and Fujitsu.
Yeah,
they're all Japanese. Those are. This one happens to be made in China with an American manufacturer. I would like to assess this when it gets cold. It's supposed to get colder and within the next week, and see what it really is doing by itself in with thermometer in here, and find out what it does and doesn't do.
I mean, if you want, yeah, I think Ben might be a little more subject on that, but yeah.
Anyway, in terms of the proposal, that's what, like I said, it could be phased in. It wouldn't hurt to have a backup of the Toyo sooner rather than later.
Yeah.
So then I think that if the council accepts putting this in the plan, then we could put it into the seek funding for FY25 and the council, we could do it in COA, we could do it in before the end of FY24 if the council wanted to. If we're talking about installing a Toyo stove, I can't see even with my glasses on that far, but I can't imagine we're talking about more than a few thousand dollars for a Toyo stove, right?
Yeah, the $18,781.15, that was with the heat pump and the Toyo stove and all the work that came with it. I do believe the majority of the a lot of the work, it came from the Toyo stove because it had the piping and the stuff, and I'm not sure what it will take to able to do both the boiler, the new heating system, and the Toyo stove, and keep everyone kept on the same line or not?
And that's because the I believe that the boiler uses a different whatever mm-hmm. it uses isn't what Toyo stoves uses.
Actually, right? I might have. I need to actually talk to the gas station because what type of fuel do I get here?
I'd have to look and see.
They don't use very.
Do they do the same?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I was mistaken. I thought it was different, but I don't think it is actually.
But when it's super cold and they fill up, they use a blend, so that it doesn't gel up.
Yeah, but we won't be changing fuel.
That's what I was wondering, if he was just going to have to get another tank and have two tanks and two kind of types of fuel. But if not, then yeah, no problem. Or I mean,
they may change.
No problem. So you can have all the money you want.
Yeah.
But no, I think that's you know, if the council wants them, we can get that in the plan, and we can start working on that, you know, as soon as the council directs me to create an NCO for it. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So move on from that. If nobody else has any more, does anybody online want to say anything about that, Brian? Or did somebody say Janine was online as well?
I think Janine's on there.
I was unmuting to say something, and I realized I was just going to say, great work, you guys. This is going excellent. I think it makes sense in the short term to try and get a Toyo stove in there, at least as a backup, and phase this out. I don't know what my only thought or question would be. Do we have any specifics on what funding sources might be available? This is one that wouldn't be too painful to completely fund ourselves if we had to. But I wonder, it seems like there's probably more funding available for heat pumps than there is or Toyo stoves, and that might be a valid reason for continuing to have this planned with a heat pump setup that's got two discharge units as opposed to two Toyo stoves.
I'm not sure if that's the answer for me. I honestly don't know enough about grants to really answer that question. Maybe either Ben or Kathy might be able to answer it better than I.
Well, I mean, if we have to pull out a few thousand dollars to get the Toyo set up, I mean, I think we could handle that. The thing that makes the Toyo project more expensive, I'm not sure why he's got a Laser 731 Toyo heater Wi-Fi enabled without shipping. He was talking about two of them. So I don't know that we need two of them. We just need one of them. And one of them is $2,560. And the lifter pump is an additional $532. And then the labor, if he was putting in two Toyos, would be $3,100. I'm sure he still has to do the piping.
I think that was also included, the labor. It was for the heat pumps as well. So it'll be good.
Says install Toyos two locations. So he's got labor separate for the heat pumps. So I feel like we could at least put one in to get started. And I don't know that we even have to wait until a new fiscal year if we can NCO money.
Well, that's what I was thinking is, what if we do what I think you said in the beginning, is we go ahead and get a Toyo stove for the fire hall, if we're going to do it in FY24, we don't need to put that in the plan. If we're going to wait for the, if we're going to put the heat pumps for all of the buildings into the mid-range projects, then wouldn't that be a separate? I mean, we wouldn't need the fire hall's heat pump and heat pumps for all of the departments. So we could go ahead and get the Toyo stove going. We could do it as a capital project, but I don't know that we necessarily need to. We could just NCO the money.
They can be done as separate projects. Where you need the Toyo stove isn't very cold weather, particularly. And, you know, so of course it's going to handle less cold weather. So the Toyo stove will heat the fire hall fine.
Downstairs.
And but the only downside is you're burning fossil fuels that we're trying to get away from. But we probably need the oil fired heater for the coldest weather. Put that in, and then we come in later with heat pumps and we can use heat pumps at all the temperatures that are possible. And if the heat pump's not keeping up, then the toil goes on.
If I can mention something, Mark did mention when I was talking to Mark, if you were to do the project, he wouldn't be able to do it till late summer or early fall around that time. So if we do NCO, depending who takes the bid or not, I'm not sure. And if it may be Mark, it might not get done until in year 20.
Well, we'd have to talk to him. I think we should leave this as is with the thought of what I think we should leave this as an overall project, because it is all about the fire hall. And I think that doesn't preclude us from going after heat pumps in the aggregate for city buildings. And neither does it preclude us from needing to order one just in case. In case, you know, I mean, he said that the degradation of that boiler, you know, could happen at any time because of the you know, the leaking of the condensate. So
for me, I hate to be selfish here. For me, my purpose is just to find out where to put it. So where does this go? Does this go to fund in-house, seek funding, or mid-range projects? Where in the document do we want this fire hall heating overall thing to go? That's really the question that I want to have answered. Especially now that we've decided that we want to do it, just tell me where to put it, I will put it there. It seems like we can fund in-house the Toyo part of it. If we're going to try to do all the departments with the heat pumps, we'll probably try to seek some kind of funding because there's heat pump money out there. Now it's in kind of two different places, or I could just put it in mid-range projects. And if we fund it in-house or fund it some other way, that's fine too. I just need the council to point me in a direction.
You're looking at me.
You're the council that I'm looking at. Yes.
You're the boss.
Yeah.
I kind of like the idea of proceeding with an NCO with the Toyo downstairs. So we've got some redundancy and some backup.
Okay. And I'll put it in mid-range projects and we'll mm-hmm. get an NCO going to get the Toyo. Okay.
It also might allow us to figure out, like, will one Toyo stove, if we had to do a backup, will it work for that downstairs too? So yeah, I think that's a good idea too.
You mean, in other words, whether it's big enough.
Yeah.
As the capacity.
And I forgot that you did too. I was thinking of just a one as well. I just if we do just one, I can turn down the boiler and see, just test it out if that, yeah, the Toyo stove would work, and if that later down the road we have to get, because we can always get more. It's kind of hard to get less.
Okay. So now on to the long range projects. That is all the projects that we had separate from what's in the plan already, right? You don't have more projects to present? Okay. First thing that I saw in here when I was looking at it this morning was the volunteer fire department building expansion and roof repair. Is that something that we're, I haven't even seen anything in my files about that. I don't know.
I know we've talked about briefly, just off and on. I mean, just, you know, adding another bay to the, you know, to the side over there where there's room, so we could house another vehicle. But I don't know that it's ever gone beyond talking about that would be possible.
But I thought when I first took over as treasurer, I thought that there was talk. I don't know how realistic it was, but there was talk, especially when Travis was here, of the fire department moving to a different location. So that's what I thought we were, at some point I thought that's what we were trying to do. Yeah. So, and then this morning I saw this and I thought, oh, I guess I hadn't really thought about that. And while, does the roof need to be repaired? And if so, yeah, how dire is that? Is this a long range project or does this need to be moved up? It's the first thing on the list, Sol. Sorry.
No, it's all right. I mean, the project, up front, I did not put this project in, so I don't know, may not know as much about it. I do know when Steve Petty, I think, put the gutters.
Petty did gutters.
In there, he mentioned that there is actually no flashing for the basically from the roof, main roof, not the back roof, which will cause extra rot in there. And I just haven't got to a point where we need to fix it. And I ran across a document from a light building inspection on my computer mentioning that the roof is not as up to the current codes, I guess. It didn't appear to be to up the current codes for a large building or for the fire department itself. So that's probably the reason why it got put in there. Am I worried that it's going to collapse on me, the snow load? I don't think I will worry about that now yet, at least. I don't know terribly much about it as I would like.
But I can tell you what's in the plan here is that the expansion would create a kitchen and a full bathroom upstairs, along with bunk rooms, larger classroom and training room. It would redo the electrical and lighting. Safety improvements would include an additional second story exit and a vehicle exhaust system for the garage. The garage would have separate rooms for storage of EMS supplies and fire equipment. Bigger garage space would allow to store more equipment that is currently outside. And that's
a lot more. A lot of that is actually, I still would agree on, like the bunk rooms and stuff like that. I mean, because like if we bring in instructors, bring in other people, we have a nice place they can stay at. If we are able to get additional space for put Tinker 2 or some another vehicle very similar, it would be actually very useful. And exhaust system, because the current exhaust system only works if you have a door open. What happens is when you turn the fans on and close everything, it starts sucking the air from one side of where the fan's trying to suck out into the building, closing the door, the lid. There was a little bit of period I did try to get a grant to get an exhaust system when I first started, but I think I got I kind of left that project since then. So I still agree with this project. As I can see it, I do think we might end up opening a little bit more of a, I guess maybe a can of worms if we end up breaking into that building and see what actually needs to be done. Because there's some codes that we might have to fix that were grandfathered in now because of the age of the building. But I don't know much construction to really discuss on that.
I can add a couple of things. Number one, I think the building leaks a lot of heat. There are skylights on it that are just, if I recall right, are just translucent roofing panels like you put on a chicken coop.
Yeah.
And they're all loose. And they leak a lot of heat. What we're looking at we're looking at several $100,000 worth of work if we get into that building. It doesn't mean might really be a good thing to do, but it's something that needs an architect to look at the building, determine what it really needs, and then give us some options. Part of the idea of having some living space sort of up there was that Travis had in mind possibly having a couple volunteers there all the time overnight. They would have shifts for living in the fire hall. So when they got a call, they could be right on it and out the door with the ambulance, especially. So you've got that advantage, plus the advantages of being able to put up an instructor or whatever. But I think it's a pretty big project and would need a consulting architect.
It does have a design phase and a build phase, and a project cost of approximately $700,000, and that's a lot of money on a building that. But again, I just wanted to make sure that's something we wanted to keep in there, because it's not something that I've heard discussed very often. So
yeah, because I know in beginning, I know Ginny has a question here. I know in the beginning I did try to put in scope of document to move the fire hall because just for the sake of I think a little bit of price, and it never made it on the agenda, but maybe this would be a comfort zone. But again, there I'm not sure if it probably could stay in the long term range as far as
Janine.
So I'm wondering two different needs. If the critical need on a roof project, and I'm looking at
you're cutting out really bad
of the addition. Okay, so I'll try again. Hopefully you'll hear. I'm just thinking that in to the community and I see a different
Janine, you're cutting out really, really bad and we're only hearing every third word.
If you would like, you could email it to me and I can read it aloud to everybody.
Yeah, still not able to.
Okay, thank you.
Or come on back.
Well, and two, I think that what I'm not going to speak for her because obviously she can email it, but I believe what she was saying is she thought that it was two different things. There was a building expansion and roof repair. If the roof needed to be repaired, maybe we needed to look into that. I believe that was what I caught of what she was saying.
Something worth mentioning, if we were getting serious into expansion, it might be better to try to combine the two projects into one, because there was a thought in the thing of putting a carport on the right side of the buildings where we do barbecues and stuff like that. We're already it could act like a vehicle storage as well, but if we were to keep the same angle, there would not be no space. We had to flatten out, which then creates a not much of a
pitch
essentially. So it might would so I if we were going to expansion mode, I have a feeling that we'll have to change the pitch of the roof a little bit, and it might be best if we were to get serious into it.
And like you said, it's not actually leaking into the building. You're not seeing water leaking.
I haven't seen any leaks.
I can maybe speak to it for a second, just as I'm scrolling through this scoping document, or I guess through this CIP, it says in 2016, a local construction company working on the roof noticed a lot of roofing materials that were tacked down inadequately and believed that there could be damage underneath some of the roof on the main building due to water leakage. This is a hot roof, which is sealed and does not allow air to circulate. If a hot roof gets condensation inside, mold can spread rapidly. So I feel like that's maybe the part of the roofing replacement that this document was speaking to that maybe we've missed in the transition of employees and whatnot.
Okay, so it's not water actually getting into the fire hole, it's water getting into the hot roof. Okay.
Is that an asphalt?
Up against the roof.
Is that an asphalt? What kind of roofing material is it?
The truth, I don't know. Some pictures I think I saw from it from a little bit, it might be styrofoam.
For insulation, but
the
problem is that there's with a hot roof, you have no ventilation space under it. Like you have a cathedral ceiling on a house and you need to have substantial amount of space above your insulation to move heat out through a vent so it doesn't condense up on underneath the roofing. So it's not a matter of the roof leaking, so it doesn't really matter what the shingles are or the roofing material. It's water vapor on the inside that's condensing there because it doesn't ventilate. So that means you're not just replacing roofing or just the plywood or whatever rotted up there. You have to change the structure to increase the ventilation.
And isn't this what happened with the library? Isn't that why the library was such a library? Right. So, yeah. The hot roofs were popular in Gustavus at some point.
Yeah, they're not good.
That's because certain people... Those panels were the next latest and greatest thing at the time, but I don't think they were studied hard enough or long enough, and so they created a lot of problems all over Southeast.
Okay, So we can wait to hear from Janine if she does email us. The next thing on the list was the City Hall and Fire Hall energy audit repairs. Is that something that anyone has any? It says the description for that is these projects will be informed by a to-be-scheduled energy audit and engineering plan.
It hasn't been done.
Okay. So I guess we'll just leave that in the long range. The 911 system upgrade, Sol. And you're next after that, too. So you could just hang out with us for a little while if you'd want.
Sounds good. If I can get a reminder on the 911 system, because I know the 911 system was replaced like 5 years ago, or the repeater itself, which is our 911 system, was replaced a little over five, six years ago.
So the description that was that I inherited was this project is still being researched. With what just happened, I know Leah just did something with the.
That wasn't really a upgrade. So what happened there was it wasn't an upgrade to the system itself. It's just a background maneuvering of the cellular tower. So there was no like cost or anything like that. If I understand correctly, that could very well be a radio system to a CAD system. And that essentially it means a whole computer. There'll be, when you dial 911, there might be a computer answer initially of like, okay, doing it like a, if a critical, like you're on hold, if someone else is on the other line, instead of having a busy signal like we are have now.
If two people called 911 at the same time in Gustavus?
If two people happen to call 911 at the same time, one of them get a busy signal, unfortunately. And, that's why we try to keep it fairly short. Besides the fact that we have 3 minutes on the line. I haven't done any research on this or really put anything forward.
Can I suggest to the council then, if we don't know what it is and it's not... Can we take that off? And if we need to do 911 upgrades, then we can come up with a new plan and a scoping document.
Yeah, I think that would be all right to do.
Is that okay with you, Shelley? Or Ms. Madam? Okay. No, let's just go ahead. If you do that for Sol, but yeah, let's, yeah.
Could you give us the number of the resolution?
2014-03.
Okay.
Okay, and I did notice this next one, I'm not 100% sure. I know that there's a reason why we share an electric meter with the fire hall. I can't remember why that is. Because this is something that's in the long range project, so it's not something that we're spending a whole lot of time thinking about. Is it something that we need to do?
I know. Was it last year or a year before we had issues with the wire between here and the fire hall,
which they replaced,
which they did replace. But then in that talk, they mentioned that it might be better cost or electricity wise to get it, try to get the, I don't know, maybe Kathy might be able to put more of a spin on this, but from my understanding, they need to put those transformers closer here to.
Yeah, so they need to put another transformer, and they say that it could only happen across the street, and so they need to be able to have a special machine over here to be able to
go under the road
to run all the cable, and they weren't willing to do that until whenever they needed to do it for more than one place. I know that Kunats have, you know, they have one of those tools, but whether or not it's something that AP&T wants to, you know, partner up with is another question. In the meantime, we have this fixed. The ideal thing would be for us to each be on our own meter. That way we have a sense of what's happening in either building. We're not dependent if something happens in between for one building to be out of power and the other one not to be. It makes long sense long term, and I think we should go for that. I mean, AP&T is aware we want it to happen. So I feel like we want to get that done when AP&T, I guess, is ready to do it.
And could we move it in the plan? Because being in the long range projects, I think it, if it's something we want to do, that can't be a very expensive.
It depends on the boring that they have to do and whether or not they're going to do it in conjunction with another project or not.
And somewhat when they did this correction here, they positioned things so they could connect to the wire that comes here with that new arrangement so that we'd be on separate meters. So it's they positioned us to go ahead and do that when we're ready and they're ready.
Okay, so, you know, because one of the things that was asked of me when we got the heat pumps was how were we going to track this? And I said, I don't know, considering we share an electric meter with the fire department. If this is something we want to do and it's we're just waiting on AP&T, maybe if we moved it forward in the plan to let's get this thing done, that we could then put the pressure on AP&T to do it. Or we if we leave it in long-range projects, at the end of tonight, nobody will talk about it again until next year when we're sitting at the table again. So that... that's my suggestion if, you know, I'm willing to.
And which one is that? That's on the remodel or somewhere else?
It's in the long range projects as number four. It's just GVFB electric meter installation. I think so. Yeah, just so it's, you know, moved up into, hey, let's start thinking about getting this.
It would be a better system for us.
Yeah. So if nobody has any objections.
Oh, it's a standalone thing. No, we could move that up for sure.
Yeah, I support moving that up.
Shelley?
Yes.
Okay. I know that the Gustavus Public Library building expansion is something that we talked about last year, and I've been part of a few conversations. I know that's something that in the future the city would like to see the library grow, but I don't think that that's something that needs to move forward. Anybody have any objections to just leaving that where it is? Mike's good. Kathy's good. Shelly's good. Brian's?
Yeah, seems totally fine by me.
Okay, then we did the same thing last year. I'm just going to lump these 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 disposal and recycling things together. Do you want any of these things sooner than later, Ian?
Well, just to follow up with your first comment on these, they were certainly a wish list for infrastructure that would benefit the DRC long-term. Essentially, yes, they're all long-term projects still, and most of them require something like a new building, for example. The one thing I will say, though, is Bruce McDonough at the National Park has been talking to me a little bit about a shredder, but I have nothing official on paper or anything at this point in time, but they're very interested in us getting one.
Yeah.
And but it still should remain long term, and that's all I have to add.
They're interested in getting one for us to use, or they're interested in figuring out in trying to get us to buy one?
They mentioned they potentially want to split the costs, because when they saw me sawzalling up a car after the Derby to dispose of it, they thought it would be very handy if we had something that would be capable of dealing with that. So,
okay. Well, I think it's a good project too, but they have solid waste reduction grants within a component of their own department. I mean, their own Department of the Interior, and they may be better positioned to figure out a way to get one, even if we operate it. But that's just my two cents. But
certainly, and like I said, it's just been something that's been brought up a couple times very recently.
Sean mentioned it to me the other day too when he was looking at, about the bins.
And something that Ian said that I guess I should have, I had kind of forgotten when I said it earlier. Paul did say they were wishlist items, but he did specify that with the new building, they would become more, you know, now that we have the new building. He did say with a few things that we didn't want to get like a new baler before we got the new building because of where it would go, how he wanted to get a bigger one. There wasn't room or whatever the thing was. So I had kind of forgotten that that was a big part of his.
Exactly. The baler is a great example. That's not going to happen until we have more space. The same with the drive-on scale. The garage, that's something that the old building would get refurbished into once we get a new building. And same thing with wasted energy equipment and a styrofoam densifier. We just don't have enough room for any more equipment at the DRC, and it's simple as that.
Right. But there are things that we still want to keep on the list. There are items worth having.
Yes. Okay. I think it's worth having them on there still.
Okay. City electric vehicle. Is that a stay where it is item, or the city looking to move forward on that?
I mean, I guess, you know, there's some trucks out there that might be electric. Personally, I feel like we need just a heavy duty truck for use by our marine facilities coordinator and by our landfill. And I mean, I know the fire department would have a separate one. It needs to be able to pack stuff around, and it needs to be, you know, I'm not convinced we need a new one. I mean, we could get one if it presents itself, but we could also probably get a really good quality used one. I did speak to the trooper involved. That them replacing their vehicle is in the infancy stages. He only suggested it. And this time of year, their fleet manager, they don't give up any vehicles because they have so many crashes in lots of areas in the state that they're not parting with anything this time of year. So the chance of picking up a used trooper vehicle is in the way distant future. Would it be nice to have a vehicle for employees to use? It sure would. Instead of them having to use their own and depend on their own. Whether it needs to be electric or not, I'm not attached to that one way or the other.
In the original project description, it says, and an electric vehicle will encourage and highlight the city's renewable energy source. Electric vehicles are relatively inexpensive to purchase. So I think this was, it is specifically, the project is called City Electric Vehicles. I don't know if that matters if we end up with something that's not.
I think it's probably a, fairly general purpose thing for staff to use or whatever. It may be, but most, especially an electric vehicle, like a used one, like somebody may have been thinking about there, is not going to do the sorts of things that Kathy's talking about.
Right.
So that's, I very much prefer buying electric vehicles than IC engine vehicles, but there are some things that, they really heavy duty ones now are all new and they're expensive. And
yeah, they're $91,000. I just looked it up.
I don't know what the cost of that little white truck they have, a little electric white truck they have out at the park, but as the previous Marine Facilities Coordinator, I thought that would be ideal
utility.
Yeah. I could drive here, I could drive it to the bathrooms, I could clean the bathrooms, grab the trash, go to the landfill.
Most of the time that's probably fun.
Yeah, it's not gonna move snow or anything, but
one of them's down there, it's working down there.
Is that like the little ones with the little bed in the back that are small, like golf carts?
Yeah, it looks like a little Asian truck or whatever. I'm trying to think of the right word, but yeah.
Cool. And most of the time, that would probably be fine, but it's not fine for big ticket items for sure.
Okay, so I guess then I would have two thoughts. One is because we're... One thought is we could use a city electric vehicle, but if we got that, we would need another vehicle for some of the things that you're talking about, right? Working at the landfill or putting a plow on or whatever. So are we looking for a city electric vehicle or are we looking for a city vehicle? And if, are we looking for it at all?
One thing we could do too is lease a vehicle. And then we don't have to own it. And we just have, then it goes into the operating budget.
And I don't know how that works. in Alaska or how that works here. I know in some, a lot of places when you lease a vehicle, you can't take them off road. So that would be kind of a problem in Gustavus where everything is off road.
I don't know. Yeah.
I know from having leased a vehicle in the past, that was the deal then, but you know, maybe in Alaska, it's a little different. But either way, do we just want to leave it as it is? And if so, do we want to leave it in long range projects? Because again, I think I was the marine facilities coordinator for 6 years, and there was always the talk of we were going to get a vehicle. But as long as it's in long range projects, we're not going to get, we didn't get a vehicle. The city can afford a vehicle if we wanted to buy a vehicle.
Yeah.
So, I, it just seems like that's a good idea that we don't really want to do. So we just kind of put it in long range projects.
The ones that you were talking about that the park has, those are electric.
Yeah.
And how many years have they had them?
Back when Mike was working there, he said.
Well, of course, I don't know if they've turned over some of them.
Right. Yeah, but we're talking about the same kind of vehicle.
Yeah, right. And they had several of them in 2017.
Okay.
I sent a link to that a while back on the same website.
The fleet pricing. GSA.
Yeah. You know, we might be able to lease. Actually, I remember the park was a little frustrated with leasing from GSA, and they were thinking they really preferred. Jake said he would prefer to just buy them outright since they had the money. But maybe GSA leasing is a possibility for us.
It's something we could look into. I guess the question on the table here
in the operating budget
is to put it into at least medium range, mid range.
Again, I didn't mind driving around in my truck. That way, all my stuff was in it. I would have preferred to have a city truck because then I wouldn't have had the city's trash in my truck. But it's been, I think it's accurate to say it's been in long range projects since I started working for the city again in 2017. So it just doesn't seem like 2016. It doesn't seem like the city's really serious about doing it, because obviously the city has money to do it. If we want to do it, then we should move it out of long range and do, let's see if we can, what we need to do about getting a vehicle for the city. What does the council think, Brian?
I'm okay with putting it in mid range.
And we have tried twice for grants, and we were actually on our way until somebody got all tweaked out about it and called the governor's office about various projects around the state. So we were partway there at one point, but so I think moving it up would be a good idea.
I think that we might want to change the title of it though, because this description on the previous version on page 31 describes various other types of vehicles, non-electric vehicles. Maybe we should just call it a city utility vehicle.
Okay. And change the description a little bit to match up with what we actually need in 2023.
Yeah.
Okay.
And move it to medium.
Okay.
Yeah, I'd support making that change. I think it's probably still worth mentioning the possibility of, and you've got me, I won't say frantically, but researching the little electric K trucks and utility trucks here. And I think if the price is right, we could potentially get something small like that. And it might not be unreasonable to have two city vehicles down the line, or it could be, a small enough thing to bite off that it might not be sitting undone forever, I guess. So I guess I wouldn't rule out electric completely. That's something that I'd like to see if it makes sense, but obviously, yeah, not make the entire project right on that aspect.
Okay. The next one, Salmon River Harbor waterless restrooms. I would think that could stay in long range, because I don't think it's something that the community needs now, whereas in 10 or 15 years with the population increasing, we could end up needing or wanting something like that. Unless anybody has any.
It might make sense to consider installing one down there once we own the property.
Sure.
And we may, there's, we could make a lot better use of the space down there. There could even be things like picnic tables and stuff like that. So some other recreational related facilities. And so we might want to fit it into a bigger look at the harbor after.
Right. Okay. Hope there's not any community members online. The next one is the Salmon River Harbor Public Floats, which again, I don't, unless this council is prepared to take on removing the floats that are down there and buying new floats to put in, I don't imagine we're going to be moving forward on that, this project anytime soon. Mrs. Mayor? Okay.
It probably you've got it in the right place in here, but that's another thing that we would probably tackle after we purchase the center track,
right,
if that's what we're going to do, or after we have a different CRMA there. A lot of those private floats are decrepit and are dangerous and should go away.
I can't agree with you more on that. I've stepped through a couple of those floats, and I don't actually step on them anymore. And some people are taking care of theirs better than others, but I never acted like I didn't think that that was something that we should kind of take on. But the community, at least the harbor community, wasn't interested in us doing that. So, and that's either way. City Hall partial remodel.
And I didn't see a description of that in the old packet.
It's Appendix C, and it's in mid-range projects. I guess I didn't move it back. So it's on my page 21. So I don't know, is it page 20 if you printed off what Lisa sent you to this afternoon?
Mm-hmm. For what was on page 21?
The landscape? City Hall partial building remodel above landscape design consultation.
It was in mid-range.
Wasn't it already remodeled?
It says, and it's all there in the description.
And they're putting new carpet here and did some.
So it's already been done.
No, this
would be long. What did they have in mind?
It says the
new carpet, the three windows on the east side of the building should replace an updated lighting LED fixtures should be installed.
Aren't these new? Not the lights, the windows.
One of them's fogged.
Yeah, this one. They might be new from when we first called this City Hall, they might be new, but I think that this was done since then, because they put 2012 and 2015 when they did that addition.
So do these have fluorescent tubes in them or LED tubes now? Because you can just change them out. You're interchanging.
I've actually asked Ben to investigate getting full spectrum lights for in here.
And I did.
Because of the darkness in the wintertime.
Mm-hmm.
And some of us who may get affected by that. And we put them in offices at the college, and they do help somewhat. The only thing is, we need to find out if the lenses that cover them, the diffusers, allow the full spectrum benefits.
That's why we
wouldn't have to get new lenses or whatever you want to call them to make the lights.
Full spectrum ones though can be LEDs, right?
Yeah, we did an estimate, and I have it on my desk, how much it would cost. It was just a few hundred dollars we could put in. Every light in this place could be full spectrum for just a few hundred dollars with the existing fixtures. But we weren't
doing operating.
Yeah. We just weren't sure if putting them in and then putting these caps back on, we might just be blocking it out and not doing anything. I have they're actually grow lights, but that's what I have inside my house. And, it makes me feel better every time I walk in. So if that helps in here, then.
You may actually need an all new fixture.
At least would you call it
the
diffuser?
The whole fixture comes out.
Cover.
Not just the cover. You probably, if you get a different cover, it's not going to fit that fixture.
Possibly.
So you probably need the whole new fixture.
Well, right now we were just looking at bulbs.
Yeah.
If the full spectrum comes through with the covers that we have, then we wouldn't need to replace the covers.
How do you judge that?
Well, I'm sure there's got to be manufacturing specifications for it.
It was something that when I had a little bit of time, we were talking about it and I started doing it, and then I ran out of that time and haven't gotten back to it, but I will, my first thing I was going to ask John Nixon, and just, I don't know, then it kind of spiraled out and I missed it. But there is more stuff on this other than just the LEDs and the windows and the carpet. It says as part of the remodel, we could consider creating an electric vehicle charging station for the future electric vehicle if we got one. And then something that's not on there, if you guys notice that it's nice and peaceful in here and we don't have the from the speakers, it's because we plugged in everything that was plugged in over there, over here. So that plugged last general meeting, I don't know if you guys noticed, every now and then it popped in here. That was from me printing. Every time I printed, it popped in here. So it's part of the remodel, might be having somebody come in and look at the electrical wiring in this room, at least on that wall.
There definitely is still something, because when I print my, it still does a little, it's not as bad as it used to be before we repaired the line, but there's still a draw somewhere when it prints. I can see the lights change from my office. So
whether it's remodel or whether it's just updating this building to this century, we agree that it doesn't need to come out of here. It's something, is it a high priority? No. So we just leave it where it is, unless,
except for, you know, the lights.
Yeah. Well, like, you know, we can continue to look into that, because that could just be done out of the general fund. And then I added the public drinking water source back to here. That takes care of everything in the capital improvement plan, except for the specific descriptions of the projects themselves. I will go through and move everything around. Does anybody have anything they'd like to change? And I don't think we need to go through them one at a time, and unless you guys do. And if not, then, you know, if anybody has noticed anything that needs to be updated or changed, let me know now, or you can let me know later and I can do it. My plan is, last year we passed this in April because of everything else that was going on. I think if we're happy with this tonight, we could pass this in March. Now, I'm not going to guarantee that I'll have it done in February, but I could definitely have it done for the March general meeting. And that gives us plenty of time if we want to do anything else. Yeah. If we want to change anything else in here, anybody online has any comments or anything?
I think it's based on what we've talked about here. It's mostly in a pretty good spot. I noticed a few little errors, well, mostly grammatical things in the mound rebuilding or mound expansion project. And I also, looking at it, and I think I'm looking at the right version of the document, the one that's labeled 2024 through 2028. And I don't actually see the DRC mound expansion project listed here. So I just want to confirm that we did want to have that in mid-range projects.
I believe it was in mid-range projects already in the previous year. Let's see. My stuff's all out of order. So it was in FY24 projects fund in-house for FY24. No, I'm sorry. That's the groundwater wells.
It's on page 22. Disposal and recycling center mound expansion project.
He's talking about he's not talking about the description. I believe, Brian, you're not talking about the description. You're talking about the actual, where is it in the thing. I have it in mid-range. It's the last thing on 2020.
Yeah, maybe I'm looking in the wrong spot. Even on the shared screen, I see recycling center glass pulverizer. But I'm sorry. I'm seeing it here in fund in-house for FY2025. That's where. Okay, gotcha. But yeah, wherever that ends up, because it sounds like I guess it probably makes more sense to have it in mid-range than in the fund in-house, just in case we're able to find a funding opportunity there. Not that I guess we get, you know, locked into having to fund it for putting it in that section.
And I'm going to have to apologize. Now I realize what happened today with the fire hall architectural thing and the glass pulverizer being in mid-range projects. While I was working on this today, the mayor came over and asked me to hit a button on my computer, and it turned off both my screens. And in trying to fix that, it turned off my computer, and I lost the work that I was doing. I was in the process of moving things around. I'm sorry, Shelley, I had to throw you under the bus. I think
it was that right index finger of yours didn't hit the right.
That could be what happened, but that's why that's in the wrong place. And so I'll get that.
That's totally fine. Not a problem.
I couldn't figure out why when I was looking at this earlier, but that now I'm remembering. I thought that it came back and it said something like it was trying to save my work, but apparently it failed me. I apologize.
No worries.
But thank you for bringing that up.
Only other detail that I've spotted in a quick glance through, I see in the details about the mound expansion project, it's shown for me with a red underline. We've got before mentioned, which is just aforementioned. And then I think there was, I already changed it in my copy, but there's one other word that was misspelled. So, but nothing like major that needs to, major switches around.
Would you mind, Brian, if you mark those, would you mind emailing that to me just so that, have it tomorrow when I, okay.
Totally.
Okay, but I mean, this is a brief description of what the scoping document was that he provided for us tonight. Yeah. The mound replacement.
I thought he was talking about in this document. Were you talking about in the scoping document or in the CIP itself, Brian?
I was in the CIP, just in the brief description there.
So that's easy enough for me to fix. Just let me know and I'll look it up and fix the grammatical stuff. I was finding a few things myself this morning, like missing S's.
Well, my point is I guess you can say a scoping document has been completed and the total project cost could be added.
Anything that was changed will be updated.
Okay.
Okay. Back to you.
And it seems that it's looks like, okay, Glen Stitch is going to be in the mid-range. And then, Mike, you were going to, for a purchase for the Boat Harbor Tract, you're going to do a scoping document for that for mid-range.
Yep.
And then also the, I'm not sure what we did with the heat pumps for city buildings. Discuss where we want to put it. Okay. I think we're good.
Okay. Yep. Well,
I'm not in charge.
I mean, Lisa mentioned something and I realized it didn't happen. The GUFD water tender that's in the CIP wasn't brought up, or was it?
But I didn't see it in our list in any of the
charts.
That could be missing.
But it's not in the mid-range, long-range.
Did it see it in those? I'm trying to
seek funding, or
did? No, but
nope. There was something. It's the description is in here. Is right? The description is in here, but it's not. Right. So where are you saying that should be sold?
I mean, probably mid-range because we are applying, we have hired grant writers to put in a grant to purchase one.
Okay. If that's the case, then it would actually be in seek funding for FY25, because you're seeking funding currently? Okay.
And that's...
Then if nobody has a problem with that, I'll move it to seek funding in 2025 and we'll take care of it that way. Something else I noticed, I don't know if anybody else has, is that the three of us have had our microphones on this whole time, and when anybody else turned theirs on, there was no echo or feedback.
Thank you, Liesl.
Whatever. Thank you, Liesl. Okay. Okay. And if nobody else has anything, I think we're good to go.
Sounds good.
Thanks, everybody.
Yeah. Thanks so much for leading us through this, Ben.
Yep.
See you guys.